welcome back to the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana. With me, as always, it's Andy Asimakis, it's Taylor Allen. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing wonderful, Steve. Chilling in the new office.
I was just thinking that because in the previous format, I would ask one of you, but what would happen is if I went to Andy, he would go on the stupid diatribe, and then Taylor would go up and he'd be like, hi. And then that would be it. It'd be like, well,
why are my diatribes stupid? Yours are as moronic as mine are.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that yours isn't moronic. We're both moronic.
You know, I'm not gonna say anymore. Let's go screw you.
But I just don't know now that it's not like, you know, rotating guests. Like, I feel like it should just be here's us, here we are, here's me, here's you, here's that person. But if you want to still go around the horn, I think we could still do that. But I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with Taylor from now on.
Sure. I'll save my bullshit for the end.
We'll prolong the diatribe.
Right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, it's Taylor Allen. How are you, Taylor?
Doing great, Steve. I'm in my new office.
God damn it, Andy.
Your fucking face.
And also with us is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I am doing well. Is that good?
Yep.
Is that all I should say?
Yes. Yes. And what I should say is that this Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast is the internet's number one gaming news podcast starring people you've never heard of, probably. And I think I might want to replace people with idiots. The show posts each and every week for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including Podbean and the video on demand on youtube.com/dualscreenstv exactly 24 hours after we record it live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. So go over to twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, hit the follow button so that you can watch us live and interact with us in the chat, or go to our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe and the like button if you're watching it on YouTube. Obviously, please hit the thumbs up. Helps us out a lot. And if you like what you hear here, or if you want to have another podcast to listen to on this very same network, you don't have to subscribe anywhere else. You don't have to follow anywhere else. We do two shows. We do another show every Friday called the Dual Screens Podcast. And that is an interview show where Andy and I bring on an industry guest and we interview them. It could be an indie dev. It could be a voice actor. And it's great. We have a blast doing it. We've interviewed nearly 200 guests at this point. We're getting close. If you want to support us on Patreon, you could do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. So thank you so much for doing that. All right. All that's out of the way. Last week, we did our nominations for our Game of the Year, our personal Games of the Year, whatever. We each nominated a bunch of different games for each category. We're going to take the rest of this week's time to hopefully play each other's nominations however we can, so we'll have a little bit more informed discussion. Next week will be our awards. We're going to deliberate. It's going to be no news, no segments. All we're going to do is go topic by topic and argue with each other until we can come up with a two-thirds vote on what we're giving these awards to. It is going to be chaos, and I hope you guys can join us for that. But that's next week's show. This week's show, we got news to talk about. Not a lot, but we do. And of course, everybody's favorite current t-shirt, which was laundered today, and I did not wear it. I'm wearing FNH Paul's shirt, thanking him for being our producer. twitch.tv/FNH Paul. The adventures in gaming. Taylor, what have you been playing?
Steve.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bit of an addiction.
I know.
You talked last week on the podcast about buying Diablo 3.
We did, yeah.
And I went, Diablo 3 sounds real cool. It was on sale on Battle.net. So I grabbed it. I probably put in 40 hours in the last week.
Good lord.
It's a problem. I have four seasonal characters that I'm running. I have hit Paragon 220 now.
Good lord.
I'm out here on Torment like 8, 9, 10, something like that, which is... So the difficulty goes up to Torment 16. That's the highest you can go. So we're really cranking it up there.
Did they run out of words?
Yeah.
Could they not have just come up with like worse words?
But think about it, because it's they have normal, hard, expert, master, nightmare, and then torment 1 through 16. So they've got a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
You know.
They could have had other words though. They could have done like literal hell.
Anal.
They could have. They could have done. That's Florida easy. Could have been a difficulty yeah, level.
Sure. That game's real cool, man. I did not realize how in depth like end game Diablo was, because I played on console before this, right? Yeah. I played on PS4, and I had a couple characters, including a hardcore character that I got up to level 70, and I was like, sweet, beat it on that character, let's run it again, not realizing that getting to level 70 is like, good job, you beat the tutorial. And so I just have had my eyes open to a whole new world of game, and I'm having an absolute blast with it.
So remember, I bought the game when it was on sale on PS4 or 5, because that was going to be my turn my brain off, talk to friends on you know, like the Discord or whatever, and just kind of smash away. And I was doing that by myself, waiting for Mikey Kirsch to get back from his vacation so that we can, you know, play that together. But then you were playing on PC, and I was like, you know, I own this game on PC. I bought it on PC the day it came out. I know I had a max level monk and like all this stuff. So I go into my Blizzard account and it's not there. It's gone. I'm like, wait, what? That's weird. The only games that are there are Call of Duty, and I think Hearthstone was there. And nothing else was there. Like, this is really bizarre that a game that I bought 8 years ago is gone. So I go to my email and I find my original purchased email confirmation with the number and everything, the order number and everything from 2012, from May of 2012, I think it was. And it shows, you know, that I bought the game, the $60, yada yada, $65 after New York tax. And so I'm like, this is just bizarre. So I write to Blizzard. I open a support ticket, and they were not in between Christmas and New Year's. So on the 2nd, they write me back and they're like, hey, we're gonna look into this for you. Turns out 6 months ago, okay, 6 months ago, this must have been right around Warzone time, when Warzone came, when I started to play Warzone. 6 months ago, your account was hacked.
Ooh.
And you didn't respond to requests to verify the account after it was hacked. So we shut your account and got rid of all the games. And so the account that I was logging into used the same email address, but was a different username, and it was Batchild instead of Batchild 27, which was my original username. So it was just Batchild, because when I relogged in to get Warzone, it asked me, hey, put in a username. So I put in Batchild. I was like, okay, cool, thanks. So effectively, I made a new account using my original email that the account was originally hacked on, to ostensibly make a brand new Activision Blizzard account. So they're like, hey, give us an alternate email. We're going to send that email a confirmation link. Then we're going to start communicating through that email. So I give them my dual screens email, and they're like, hey, click this link. This is going to be your email. And I'm like, okay. So I do it and I log in. However, browser saved my old email, not dual screens. So it kept logging me into my old account. I'm like, no. Stop doing this. So then I go into my account and I change the email, or I attempt to change the email from my normal account to my dual screens account, email account. And it says, nay, this email is in use. I'm like, a what? Turns out Blizzard already changed the email address, did not tell me that they changed it. So then I used that email address, and then they said, hey, check your inbox. I'm like, okay, cool. It says, here's a password reset link. Click this bad boy. Cool. Click it. It's like dual screen, you know, at dualscreens.com. put your password. I put a new password. It's like, booyakasha, you're in. So I click it. What do I have? I got Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls, ladies and gentlemen. It's in my account. So is StarCraft 2. It's all in my account. We're back and running. We're ready to go.
Doing all your old Warcraft characters.
No, that account has lapsed. That account is very lapsed. And I only played Warcraft for like a month. So I went on a Diablo 3 recovery journey. And I played the game for about a half an hour today, just to like see what the seasonal stuff was like, because I never played any seasonal content in Diablo. Like I was gone before they started that, and yeah. The addiction is real. What else have you been playing, Taylor?
In a similar vein, Borderlands 3 was on sale on the Epic Games Store, and I had one of those little Epic $10 coupons, and so I bought it with all the DLC and everything. I've been messing around in that. Personal opinions about leadership at that studio aside, it's a fun game.
Oh, yeah.
I like that game.
I still have to beat it on PlayStation.
Yeah. But it's not bad. I'm playing as Flack, which is the robot with the animals. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I like him too.
I have a cool little spider guy that shoots poison at people. And a bunch of dumb guns. I have one that I throw to reload instead of just reload it, and it explodes. And then in addition to that, with my good friends Robo Dessert and Robert Highwind, I've been playing some multiplayer Stardew Valley.
Yeah,
we had our first little sesh last night. That game is just so pleasant. Like, it is the most heartwarming, just awesome, feel good, plant shit and be happy game ever. I just love it so much. So,
do you
get back to Stardew?
So, to be certain about something, you're not a recovering like drug addict, right? Like, you seem to be gravitating towards very addictive behaviors with these games.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Have you seen his face? He has a look of a meth head, I think, a little bit.
Here's the thing.
A little bit.
I don't see the sun a lot, okay, Andy? It gets dark at like...
You have all of your teeth. That's my next question.
He has all his teeth,
but like you seem to be purposefully seeking games that are going to ruin your life over and over and over again. And it is admirable, number one, because I could never have the balls to do that. Because I remember before you hit that Call of Duty buy button, your wife threatened. She had the papers ready. She was ready to walk out on you. And you pulled that trigger. You went there. You did it. You said, F this, man. I'm going in. Then you got me there. You got me right in the vein with the Call of Duty thing. Then I was like, hey, man, I got that Call of Duty, but have you ever heard of Diablo 3? And you're like, nah, man, what's that? I remember I had that in the schoolyard back in eighth grade. You're like, come on, man, you need a little bit of that Diablo 3. And then you start playing Diablo 3 for 40 hours without your dealer. I didn't even give you the damn thing. And oh, my God. Oh, and then there was the Destiny 2 trip. Holy shit. That one was like the summer of 69.
Here's the thing, Steven. I like making the numbers get bigger, and all of these games just make the numbers get bigger. I do like 8 billion damage in Diablo now. It's wild. You start out at level 1, you're doing like 7 damage each hit. You know, I'm doing 8 billion damage, like blurring as I'm flying across the screen because I'm moving so fast.
You like to see the numbers get bigger, and Andy likes to see the boobs and the peen get bigger because he had his obsession with the sexy games. Andy, did you break out of the sexy games? Have you been playing anything different this week?
I'm back on my old shit kick.
Okay.
Because I discovered a PlayStation 3 that was just on the curb somewhere waiting for the trash man to come pick it up. And I was like, no, sweet child, you deserve better than this fate. So I picked him up, brought him inside, dusted him off, looked for some old cables, an old monitor, HDMI, hooked it up. Like, what's wrong with you? Why were you just tossing like a piece of trash? Hooked it up. No disc could be read. All right, I see that. Can't read discs. I can see why you were thrown away. But then I found that there's a whole thing about jailbreaking PS3s out there. that you can do from the PS3's internal browser without a USB stick. It's all done from the thing. You go to a website, you click some things, you agree to certain things, sign some kidneys away, hit X a few times.
Good Lord.
It checks your firmware, installs a bunch of stuff, flashes your memory. And then before you can, like, blink, your system can now play any game off a hard drive. And I was like, great. Now I got to play old shit. What can I play first? I was playing a bit of Metal Gear Solid 4, and I forgot how insane that game's intro is. Not the actual Snake on the battlefield part, but those weird commercials in the beginning.
Mm.
And then it's like David Hayter with an eye patch doing an interview.
Yeah.
With some chick. And I was like,
vaguely remember that.
Fucking Kojima's a madman. I did that for a little while. Then I played Folklore for a good 10-12 minutes or so. Folklore,
good times.
That's a great game. Did that. Played Dante's Inferno for a good hour.
Okay. All right.
I like visceral games, God of War type.
Getting closer to the PM right. games. That has a giant vagina right. boss, right?
Well, no. Big tits, Cleopatra.
All right. I'm pretty sure you fight a vagina.
I'm sure at some point. I don't recall. I'll find out soon enough.
Yeah.
And then I played. Oh, wait. There were titties. Lollipop Chainsaw. Remember that game?
Yes. Yeah. Lollipop Chainsaw.
Played some of that for a little bit. And that was it. A lot of old PS3 things. Just seeing what this thing can do. You can rip games right from the game itself to the hard drive. It can play PS1 games, PS2 games, like the actual game files right on the PS3.
Uh-huh.
It's like I have a legacy PS3 machine that I found on the street, basically.
Yeah, so you download the ISOs and you just put them on a thumb drive and just shove them in the hard drive?
It all goes on the hard drive.
Interesting.
And the thing is like, oh, I see you have so-and-so on your flash drive. Do you want it on your hard drive? Okay.
Is this what you guys were talking about replacing the hard drive with an SSD for? Yes. Is this why this conversation was happening in the Discord?
Yes, and I found one for $84.
$84.
Oh my god!
And I ordered a terabyte SSD for PS3, so that's going to be next on my little agenda. Because
okay,
and what the best part? Let's say you have a game that needs updates.
Uh-huh.
It downloads them from Sony's server. Because you're not on PSN network. But if you're online, your jailbroken PS3 goes to Sony server, get your game updates.
And that, totally that, you're living in a dangerous world.
Oh, but it's better.
It gets better. So there was a Naruto game I used to play. Naruto something relation shit. Shippuden. Like, it was like the fighting game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And me and my other friend Steven were like obsessed with it back in the day. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure there's like some online fuckery you can pull off that you can play these games online without Sony knowing.
Okay.
And sure enough, you can totally play these games on the dummy account online with people and you won't get banned.
Yet.
I mean, it's a dummy account, so it's not my main PSN ID, so sure. I don't give a shit. I'll just make fake ones till infinity if I have to.
Uh-huh. But
that's next on my thing.
AndySamakis001@gmail.com. AndySamakis002@gmail.com.
Here they come.
This is going.
So you heard my Diablo 3 story. I also booted up. Speaking of addictions, back when I was a kid, I used to love Theme Park and Roller Coaster Tycoon and all of those types of games. The movies was my favorite. If you've never played the movies, I've spoken about it on the show before. I tried to find a ISO of that on the internet, and it is incredibly hard to find.
I've scoured, and I can't find it.
It is so hard to find. I found one website that had it. But it was like you needed to literally have a PhD in quantum mechanics to figure out how to get it to actually run on your machine. Like you needed to figure out how to make the game file think you have a Windows XP operating system.
Yeah. What?
Like, it was the most bizarre thing. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm never playing this again because it's delisted. You can't find it anywhere. So I booted up Planet Coaster on the Xbox on a late night after Marbles. I think it was after Marbles. Was it after Marbles? Was it Sunday? It was Sunday.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Sunday. It was Sunday. Yeah. It was. I did a little Sunday stream. I chilled with Planet Coaster, and I had to stop. I had to force myself away from it because the game isn't like that great. I feel like the options are very, very limited as far as the preset stuff. It's like pirate theme, space theme, city theme. That's it. Whatever. You could obviously mix and match all of those. You can make your own roller coasters. You can make your own track configurations, have the rides do whatever you want. It's very customizable in that way. But like, as far as like the theme stuff, I haven't gotten too far into the nitty gritty. There are some like paint customizations. I want to see if there are more themes out there that I don't know about, maybe buried, maybe they're DLC or something like that. But like, it seems like, oh, I did a sandbox one, for example. It was like, okay, I could only pick space theme or pirate theme or city theme. I guess I'll go with space theme. But now it feels weird that I don't have all the space food shops. Maybe I'll do like a little pirate world somewhere. I don't know. I'm figuring it out. But I love that shit. But all this week is going to be dead. Obviously, I was playing Call of Duty. I'm grinding some attachments for that. Playing some, you know, some other stuff here and there. But this week is going to be dedicated to catching up on all the games that you guys recommended that I did not get to play for your year-end awards. So I'm excited to do that. I'm going to find them on any platform I can, get the cheapest copies that I can, where I can, and I'm going to get through that. So I'm very excited for that.
Alrighty.
Okay, so Andy, let's get into the indie news update. What do you got for us?
Oh, God. I'm going to direct you now to the chat for the link of this game that I just discovered a little while ago. It's called Raptor Boyfriend, a high school romance.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
It is a game where you can date a raptor, but not only a raptor. There's also a Sasquatch or a Yeti thing you can date, and some fairy thing as well. This is a game that exists.
Right.
And I think it's an upcoming guest on the show because I need to understand the mind.
It just opened on another screen. I don't know why.
Yeah, we're gone now.
To see what this person is like, how their mind operates on a daily basis, what their childhood was like.
Get them counseling.
Correct. And just you know, peel the layers back like an onion. And watch the stink flow out because I need to find out how this is real, why it's real.
This is a direct result of drugs. This is because drugs exist.
And I'm not
against drug use. I think it should be legal.
Right, but listen, it's also an obvious cry for help. I feel in some cases.
There's a wolf boy.
Yes, that's the Bigfoot. Bigfoot. Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, I think we should use our platform to do what we do best and to get to the truth of this. And I've already emailed them and I'm waiting for their reply.
Right.
Anxiously.
I just got to say, this sounds like some Andy bullshit if I have ever heard it.
Listen, there's a lot of Andy bullshit out there in the world. I'm not going to lie, but I don't know. This is too much for me. And I've done things. I've seen things.
Get one of three emotional endings.
Yeah, about emotion.
That's one of the selling points here. There's a skinny dipping scene with the raptor.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, the Bigfoot's in a band.
You see some raptor dong?
The Bigfoot's name is Taylor.
By the way. Nice. It's me.
It's good me. Lord. What are we doing in this life?
I don't know.
I have to ask.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's mistakes. I feel like we're doing are mistakes.
The best part of this is I found this news bit on techraptor.com.
I'd like to know why are you on Tech Raptor?
They're a pretty decent site.
Andy likes doing research on all the.
It's all about the IGN and the Kotaku. You got to go to the small outlets too.
No. Listen, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, do you have Tech Raptor bookmarked, or was it like on your social media feed and you click an article and it brings you?
I go to them, you know, every once in a while.
I'm going to ask you a very simple question.
Sure, you go ahead.
On your bookmark bar at the top of your Chrome browser, which I'm assuming is Chrome.
Don't ask.
Is dual screens on there at all?
It is, yes.
Okay. All right. Then it's okay. You could read whatever the fuck Tech Raptor you want.
My bookmarks consist of games that I've seen that I want to reach out to you at some point for an interview.
Sure.
And pornography. That's all it is.
You might have a problem.
That's all it is.
All right. Well, let's get into the Nintendo news.
All right, that's the show, everybody.
Let's get into the dual screens report. The first story is a Nintendo story, and it comes by way of Kotaku. Nintendo is buying the Canadian studio behind Luigi's Mansion 3 and Super Mario Strikers. This is always nice when you see third-party partnerships like Housemarque and Sony and like all that stuff, and they get eventually get bought up by them. It's really nice to see that. But Nintendo just announced it's purchased Next Level Games, the developers behind titles like Luigi's Mansion 3, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, and Super Mario Strikers. Nintendo announced the deal. Nintendo's announcement says the deal is expected to conclude in March and will serve to secure the availability of Next Level Games development resources for Nintendo. I hope this is more Super Mario Strikers, because that's probably one of the better, if not, it might be the best Nintendo sports franchise, maybe, possibly.
If you don't count Mario Kart, 100%.
Yeah. I don't count Mario Kart. But yeah, that's, I love Strikers. I think that's a really dope game. I think soccer is like basketball in that way, that it just makes it for a really good arcadey experience. Fast paced, crazy jumps up and down. Like football, there's a lot of moving parts. Blitz does it well. But there's a reason why those games aren't around anymore, you know? Like they just kind of like they come and go. Hockey is another one where it's very fast paced, but it's very one dimensional plane. You don't see people jumping and flying in the air. But soccer has that three dimensional multiple planes of action. What do you guys think of this story, Taylor?
I agree with Caneless in the chat 100%. How the hell did they not own this studio already?
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
I actually just assumed that they did. So this is not really changing my worldview all that much.
Indeed. Andy?
Yeah, I just hope that they use this to like take a few more risks with some of their IP. Like, you've acquired a now like tried and tested studio to work on your franchises in some capacity. Your offshoots, you know, Luigi's Mansion and your Nintendo sports franchises. Nintendo, I think, got by last year with the luck of COVID and Animal Crossing being like the ultimate stay at home game to play with your friends.
Right.
They struck gold with that combination of events. But overall, they didn't have a lot going on in terms of software that was like really attention worthy all of 2020. So use this to your advantage. Give us some stuff. Give us things. Take chances. Take some risks. Maybe have them work on the Star Tropics game. That could be a thing you could do. Or, you know, Earthbound just sitting there doing nothing. Just do one of those. Just give us more games. Like, you have them now. Great. Put them to work. And quickly, because it's long overdue for stuff from them.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. I'd like to see them be able to pump some, not necessarily pump out games at a faster rate, but like they're very much if you want something done right, do it yourself company. They take a lot of pride in that. But I don't think it's necessarily worked in their favor as much as they think it has. Like, I feel like a lot of their titles, or at least the two of the three main titles that they're working on at any time, always, for me, in my opinion, come up pretty short. I think that's why you don't see, you know, a Mario Kart 9. Instead, you got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. That's why you got a very underwhelming tennis game. It won't
stop selling. That's why you're not seeing Mario Kart 9.
But if they, I don't believe that because they didn't do that in the past. Like the game's always sold in the past.
To that level though, that's a huge margin of sales.
But they came out with it in the first place. Right. That's what I'm trying to say. They came out with a deluxe version of the game in the first place. Right. When they could have just called it 9 and put some new tracks, like they didn't have to remake or whatever, make a deluxe version of 8. Like it would have sold, any Mario Kart would have sold that much on the Switch, especially at near launch. Like
that. Right. When you take the fact that the Wii U didn't sell as many units as the Switch has now, it's like,
right.
Not even close.
Right.
That's a whole new audience enjoying that game for the first time. So.
Sure.
Might as well repackage it and sell it again for all those new people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I'm not saying like just pump and dump some quick and nasty games, but I need stuff from them. I just feel like they're getting by on just having this hybrid console portable thing that everyone loves all over the world. It's cheap, it's effective, but like my PlayStation systems, I play PlayStation exclusive games on them primarily. My Switch, it's all indie games I'm playing.
Yeah.
All the time. Dead Cells, I'm playing.
And that's how it was for me. But then exactly how it was for me. But then I switched to kind of PC to do a lot of that.
Yeah, then when all that goes to Game Pass, it's like, well,
yeah,
I can't wait for Game Pass and play the same indie games on that platform, like hopefully for free. When they launch on that. So yeah, it's rough. It's just I want to see more, take more chances and give us some fun software. In the new year.
Give me Mario Super Sluggers.
Yes. I did like Super Sluggers. The thing is, Super Sluggers really wasn't that great in itself. Like, it didn't have a lot of longevity, a lot of cool game modes and, like, stuff like that. I feel like that could be part of, a 3-in-1. If they
like a Wii Sports, but it's like a Mario Sports. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the initial Nintendo. Yeah,
Strikers, Sluggers. Yeah. Tennis.
Absolutely. Well, maybe not tennis because they rely heavily on tennis, but like
sure. Boxing.
You could do golf. They haven't done a golf in a long time. Yeah. Like you could do golf.
Mario Golf would be good.
Strikers.
Mud wrestling. Yeah, of course.
Mud wrestling. Yes.
Can
you imagine a wrestling, like actually that'd be pretty dope if they did like a straight up wrestling game. Like an
But
like if they the were old like, N64 wrestling games.
Yeah. If they just embrace like the humor of it, like make it like totally ridiculous. That's what I would do.
Heavily Japanese wrestling inspired.
Yeah.
That'd be
like
really cool.
Jacked up Luigi. That'd be so amazing.
What would Mario's Super Move be? What would Mario's Super Move be?
Probably like a Super Mario Punch. The uppercut punch and like that kind of thing. Like Roman Reigns has the Superman punch.
They should work with whatever wrestling federation exists now that I'm not aware of because I don't follow wrestling. Have them create backstories for all the Nintendo characters.
If you were you making like that,
I think I do.
WWE has probably the worst writers in the history of wrestling.
That's
right
why, if they just embrace it. Oh, but a quick tangent, Steven. You're made proud of this. I was
this whole story is a tangent. So
I watched the commercial and I saw that Sting. Sting is wrestling again.
Yes, Sting is back.
I know who Sting is. I was like, oh shit, it's Sting. I know that fucking asshole's face. He's still alive. He's still wrestling. He's like. 50 years old? How old is that guy?
He's 56.
Undertaker retired like 6 weeks ago. Like all these old ass dudes are still just doing
I was just proud that I knew who the fuck Sting was. I was like, shit,
he was one of the big ones when you were in that scene where the kids were wearing all the t-shirts.
When it transcends the fandom and it reaches someone like me who doesn't really follow wrestling, that's how you know they've made it big.
Accurate. Yeah. Speaking of transcending and whatever, get Andy, take us through our next story.
You know, I'm going to skip because my last story is actually Nintendo theme, so I'm going to go to the Nintendo aspect right now. So Nintendo, and this comes from TechRaptor.com, by the way. This hundreds of DSi games have been delisted.
DSi, remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you ever own that?
Nope.
I just breeze past that. I was a DS and a 3DS guy. So this tweet comes from Come Out Punching, saying PSA to 3DS gamers and DS fans: all DSiWare games released before mid 2011 have been deactivated on the eShop. including the classic Shantae Risky Revenge. It's a lot of games, 250 games to be exact, plus, which include Dr. Mario Express, Mr. Driller, Soul of Darkness, Spin 6, the Oregon Trail, and many, many more. I just love how whenever a game, its service gets shut down, like, oh, remember that game that you didn't play like for the last 10 years? Yeah.
Don't take my games away.
I was going to go bye-bye for that PS Vita game that you played like once in your life. It's like headline news. But when like 300-ish games just vanish from a storefront, it's on TechRaptor and not any other any other major news site. But listen, I didn't have a DSi. I don't know what games these are. I was into digital stuff back then, more so now, but my DS was strictly cartridge games. That's why I engaged with that system. But yeah, I mean, listen, it's been 10 years. Time to let go, I guess.
I think the only DSi. Game I ever owned digitally for the DS or DSi or DS Lite or whatever the hell, 3DS, whatever it was, I think it was the 3DS. Oh, sure.
Can I guess? Was it that 3D Excitebike game?
No, it wasn't. It was the 3DS that I have is the Mario 25th, 30th? I don't know. It was one of the anniversary editions that has Mario and Luigi on it. And it came with Mario and Luigi, the time one, the time travel RPG one.
Oh, Partners in Time?
Partners in Time, yeah. It came with that digitally on the system. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's cute. That's a game on there for sure.
What they should do, Steven?
Anything?
They should do a Mario RPG with Cooking Mama and call it Partners in Time.
I get it. I get what you did there. I get what you did there. Taylor, just hit this. I don't know this one. Can you tell me about this? What is this story?
Let me spin you a tale here, okay?
Oh, man. I'm scared.
This is not being covered by major news outlets because it's a lack of news. Now, think back in your history of gaming. When was the last time they did not release a Madden game or a FIFA game or one of those annualized sports games?
1992.
I think even if it's been broken,
forever. They still show it. It's been forever, right? Well, MLB The Show this year, we have gotten nothing on, like dead silent. Just for context, October of 2018. 2019 is when they announced that Javi Baez was going to be the cover athlete for MLB The Show 20. October. Okay. Right.
I remember.
It is currently January 5th. We don't know even who the cover athlete is. They have not even mentioned that this game is going to exist. This game is supposed to come out in 2 months.
Yeah. These are like March games usually, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's early March because they usually release it in tandem with spring training. They have said nothing. At best, this game is getting delayed a month or two.
They said last year that this is going to be the first cross-platform version of the game. It's no longer to be a PlayStation exclusive. Sony's still publishing it, but they're going to be publishing it on other platforms.
It's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true. That was big news. They signed a new deal with Major League Baseball, saying that they will start publishing on other platforms. There was no begin date to when they had to do that. So we don't know that this year was supposed to be the first multi-platform year. People were speculating that because that was part of the deal. But that's never been confirmed by anyone at Sony San Diego, anyone on the MLB The Show team, when they put out the announcement, anyone with Major League Baseball. It was very heavily speculated it was supposed to be multi-platform this year, though. But in addition to that, we also have that weird year or two with sports games where it's also cross-gen, where it's coming out on PS4 and PS5.
Right.
And if it's multi-plat, then, you know, Xbox Series and Xbox One. That combined with COVID makes me very concerned. The fact that they have not announced anything, I think this game is very much going to be in a bad spot because they were supposed to be doing a new engine this year, overhauling some of the ball mechanics and stuff like that. adding on top of that, it being multi-platform and cross-gen and all of that and everything, like, I have a feeling MLB The Show 21 is in trouble. Like, big trouble.
I'm not sure if it is. I think MLB doesn't know when it's starting their season. Like, they still don't know if they're doing spring training. They don't know when they're doing spring training. They don't know when they're starting the season. There's still news saying, like, league is still hopeful for an April, you know, April 1 start or whatever, March 29th start mm-hmm. of the season. Like, they don't know. They don't know what they're doing. And this could easily be tied to the fact that, like, maybe MLB The Show or Sony or whoever, maybe they have to wait for some sort of news. Maybe they can't because of, like, an agreement with the Players Association or something. Like, we don't really know. I wouldn't be shocked if this game didn't come out in March like it normally does. I wouldn't be shocked if this was an April release. Not necessarily delayed because they never said the game, you know, when it was coming out anyway, but just saying, hey, this is the new release time or whatever. And I don't think it's going to have a next gen version. I think they're going to do
real.
I don't think they had the ability to because of the whole COVID situation. Like, I just think that they're working in a very different environment, and that's like one thing that they could
definitely. It is a Sony first party studio though.
Yeah. That doesn't matter. Like, look at every one of their first party games. They didn't just make, you know, a PS5 version. Like, they could just easily do what they did for MLB The Show last year, which is it runs at 60 frames. It looks beautiful. It's a gorgeous game on PS5. And they could easily do that. And, you know, just say it's enhanced on PS5. It's cross generation. Plug it in. It'll do whatever it needs to do. Ray tracing, yada yada. But as far as the new engine, I think if they're actually doing a new engine, I feel like COVID most likely severely hampered the development of that. Because the engine, redoing an engine, like if you speak to any developer, especially the ones that we spoke to. We spoke to one recently that was it for Splitgate that had to create the engine? It was one of the devs we just spoke to in the last month created their engine. And that was like a huge mistake for them when they first started developing, because like that's all they had to do was focus on the engine, otherwise nothing would work. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that kind of had a problem. But
yeah,
as Buzz says in the chat, NHL didn't get any news until 2 weeks before it released. But also, NHL is the bastard child of EA Sports, whereas MLB The Show is a tentpole. It's an under the radar, but huge seller for Sony. So I feel like it's something they would definitely want more than 2 weeks lead up to. So
the thing that blows my mind the most is that we don't even know who the cover athlete is. Like I said, they announced that in October of 19 for the MLB 20 game. It's so easy. The studio, Sony San Diego, you have access to one of the hottest, like, up-and-coming stars in the game right now in Fernando Tatis Jr. there in San Diego. Like, if COVID is a concern and you don't want to fly someone out there, I think that's a no-brainer because he lives right there, I would assume, within a couple of minutes to the studio, you know?
During the season, but, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. I'm sure he lives close. He immigrated here to play for
the Padres. A lot of those guys live in, like, Texas because of the taxes and stuff. Like, Syndergaard lives in Texas, you know, and all that stuff. It could also be an MLBPA thing. Like, maybe they don't have an agreement for the 2021 season yet. So maybe they can't have that logo or any of that signed off yet. I mean, that could be it, I guess. Like, maybe the players have to, like, be under contract and yada yada. I don't know if they have their full agreement yet.
For an annual release, that's all locked in, I think, on their ends.
Yeah. They just signed that new contract. That's what the, like, multi-plat thing was a part of.
Not have it, like, in the sizzle reel somewhere. Sure, hey, this is happening at some point in 2021. But no mention at all seems a little strange. Like, we've seen games that are happening, way down the line for Sony. Like, I'm sure the next God of War game comes out way after we see MLB The Show on PS5. Maybe not. I think we don't know yet at this point, but
yeah,
it's a little strange.
When this one came out, when the current one came out, they did say that year, they said, hey, no next gen version. Next gen version's going to be our focus next year. And then they had the whole, you know, multi-platform yada yada discussion and announcement or whatever agreement.
Yeah.
That, you know, we don't have clarification on. But it could all be just a perfect storm of like, hey, we're just not ready to show it yet. It's
could be,
you know, whatever it might be. And maybe you know what, Taylor, maybe to your point, they already had an athlete. Maybe they have an athlete signed on contract and they just can't get them. They can't take a picture of them, or they can't, like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it's something they agree to pre-pandemic or at the end of the season. Now they're like, hey, we can't get them to you. Can you take a picture with us? Can you use the Photoshops? I don't know. It's bizarre, but I feel like in the next couple of weeks, we're going to know something. NHL just announced their all of their divisions for this coming season are sponsored. So, like, the Canadian division is the Scotiabank Canadian division. That's real annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I bring this up because it's weird.
It is weird. You're right. It is strange. Until everyone has the option to stab themselves in the arm and get a vaccine for this thing, it's video games and the world is just going to be weird. I've come to embrace it. Nothing is normal. Baseballs could start in July from now on. I don't know. Hockey's starting in January now. Like, okay, sure. Is that what we're doing from now on? Fine. I don't care. Just do something, anything. Andy, you're done. Taylor, you have another news story, because I didn't put anything else in here because I really was struggling to find news. Taylor, what do you got here for the final story?
Yeah. So Bloober Team's The Medium, which is an Xbox Series X/S console exclusive, just released a bunch of new gameplay. A lot of sites have, you know, 15 minutes, 14 minutes of gameplay of this. And this game looks unnerving as shit. Very much is a psychological horror, you know, not really reliant on like cheap jump scares and stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll see. That's what they all say until they cheap jump scare you.
It makes me very uncomfortable. But this is from the people who did Layers of Fear, Layers of Fear 2, Blair Witch. They're very good at making like creepy environments. So it sounds like this is going to be more of a narrative focus in those prior games, but looks just as creepy.
Andy,
this is the one where the people are in like the two dimensions. So
you weren't a fan of Blair Witch by them, right?
No, I wasn't. I think it was their weakest game.
I think your microphone when it dropped turned. So check your label.
How do I sound? Yeah, it's like I had to grab it. I think it fell on the floor. It's like shit. Do I sound okay now?
Yeah, you're just a little bit lower, but you're not as muffled.
Okay. So yeah, Blair Witch wasn't my favorite game of theirs, and my least favorite of all their games, to be honest. But this one, I gotta say, it's invoking those old Silent Hill vibes for me. That fixed camera angle especially. I was watching people on forums and Reddit bitching about the fixed camera, and I was like, I will cut you. You don't know what good direction is supposed to be like. Like, it adds so much to a game when you have these, like, dramatic fixed angles that, like, distort your whole sense of reality. Because, like, that's a purpose. That's when someone says, I want you to see this game this particular way. Like,
it's
like
shooting a movie.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And no one gets that. And it's sad. And I wasn't too sold on the whole, like, double reality thing. It's like the real world and like the other world situation, but watching this gameplay clip, oh yeah, I think it's my first must-have game of the year.
It's the power of the SSD, man.
Totally. But you know what, watching it in motion, watching the character animation, the faces and the environments, I when it comes to horror games, and I want anyone, if they can find a game that looks better than Silent Hill 3 for the PlayStation 2. No game can do that yet. This game was close. But,
okay,
yeah. Trust me on this. I don't know, there was like a Satan pact when they made that game back in the day. But the game looks great. Great soundtrack. And I'm buying it day one, without a doubt.
Fair.
I need it. and eat it.
Do we have anything in the hype zone? Because there were so many candidates.
Well, listen, I had a story I skipped on. I bumped it down the list because of the Nintendo thing.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah. Hit me up with that. Hit me up with some silly shit.
This made me so happy. You have no idea. I always talk about games and secrets and like things that are hidden in the code.
In the code.
You can unlock. So apparently.
Like that Akuma story? That was interesting.
Yes, that was in there, yeah. There's a secret that was buried deep in Nier Automata that took, according to the developer, 3 years and 10 months for someone to figure out. This comes courtesy of Lance McDonald, who I think does a lot of Bloodborne stuff. He found like old boss models in the game and boss fights. He likes to hack the fuck out of these games.
Hack
he
it. Does, do it.
It doesn't work. So he says, there's a cheat code that allows players to skip right to the end of the game. Once you beat the prologue boss, Marks, and speak to Nines, you need to stand between some barrels and then hold R2 and press up, down, up, right, left, square, circle, triangle. And they say cross here in the article. It's X.
Yeah.
Not cross.
Well, it's even. Cross in the Japan.
Right. This is from Engadget, though. Weird. The Brits in Engadget? Yeah, it's cross. That's weird. And once you do this, you unlock all the game modes that you would need to beat the game 3 times to unlock, like chapter select, stuff like that.
Yeah, sure.
And again, I love how someone took the time to put this code in the game because games stopped doing secrets a long time ago. Like, I was playing Silent Hill recently. In Silent Hill, you can get an item called the Channeling Stone after you beat the game. When you get that stone, you can go to different spots in the world and see a UFO. If you do all 5 of those and beat the game and do a new game, you get a laser pistol. We don't do shit like that in games anymore.
No, we don't. But now, back in the day, the developers would eventually release these secrets in either a strategy guide or a forum or you know, in some cheeky way, they would say, you know, here's how to do it. And like that Akuma story that I was relating to, that I was saying earlier, that one was a tester code. That was for the people testing the game to get in, play as Akuma, because he was a boss, that a non-playable boss, that they would play him to balance him out. So like it was a way for the developers to get into the code, play as him, and then turn the cheat off or whatever. So, you know, a hacker was able to get in there and see that there was some sort of way for you to unlock him, you know, as a playable character. But like, if you're going to do this, if you're not a hacker, how the fuck are you going to figure that out?
You know, that's part of the fun. I would just say, hey, there's a secret out there.
That's not fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
Andy, there is no way.
We're living in an age where like data mines spoil everything about a game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If there were no data mines, if that was not a thing, if it wasn't a way that you can do that, right? And you say, hey, there's a secret in the game, in Nier Automata, the game that you love so much that you've probably beaten 9, 10, 11 times to get all these endings.
So good.
There is no way that you stand between two barrels, hold R2, press up, down, left, or up, down, right, left, circle, square, triangle, crosshair. There's no way you're doing that. There's no way you're doing that. There's no way anybody says, oh, these two barrels are weird. I'm going to stand between them, hold R2, and press up, down, right, left.
This is why you live in the age of the data when you put stuff like this in the game to make it interesting.
If that's your goal, if your goal is to say, let's put cheats in here or codes in here that data miners are going to find and then spoil, great. Put all the wacky shit you want.
This guy didn't data. He was trying to reverse engineer the game and he came across some funky code. That's how he discovered it. It wasn't a data mine.
What's the purpose of reverse engineering a game?
I don't know, because he likes to find hidden shit. And apparently it worked 3 years later. Also, I must say, any excuse to discuss this game, because I love this game so much. It has the most perfect soundtrack in any game.
The most
perfection. Most perfect. Every track is a masterpiece.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Ask me what.
Does this cheat code make the numbers get bigger? Not interested.
Yeah. You don't know high art, Taylor. Play your shooting games.
Okay.
This is an existential identity game about aliens and robots fucking to make cyborgs. This is what a real game looks like.
Yeah.
It's about a proxy war about aliens on the moon. It's cerebral.
So Andy, do you have a hype zone for this week?
I don't. I do not have one.
Okay, that's fine. So I'm going to hype something. We have a new video on YouTube.
Check it out.
Are taking a look back at all of the months of PlayStation Plus, and we are ranking the months against each other. And by that, we mean we did a video of all the Decembers in PlayStation Plus history. So you're going to have December 2010 all the way up to 2020, all of them up against each other to see which year had the best December of them all. So please go to youtube.com/dualscreenstv and check out that video. And let us know what you think had the best group of games. And we're going to be doing one for January this month and February and so on and so forth. So please go subscribe to youtube.com/dualscreenstv. The Facebook question of the week. I posted one, and I know I did, because I remember specifying that it was for next week's show. But I can't see it anywhere. And I don't know. I wasn't drunk. Ingenious. So I don't know where it is. So we're going to skip that for this week. But we have a mailbag question from the Grounded Gamer. Sure. When will Andy finally try Apex Legends? Can you make it a Patreon goal?
You'd have to pay me to play that game. So sure. $1,000 a month. Once you hit that goal, I'll play
Don't Apex be ridiculous. Legends. Don't be ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous.
We can fundraise for 1 month. If we raise $50 in 1 month, I'll pay Apex with you guys. How about that?
I'll tell you $25. What. We can do a Twitch goal. Hmm. Right here on this channel.
Okay.
We can do either a follower goal or a sub goal or something like that. Where if we could reach like a certain amount.
Yeah, what's our followers now? 203? Okay. If we hit 204 followers.
Be careful. There are people in this chat that have multiple burner accounts.
Yeah, I know.
I have seen it happen. Right, I have seen it happen.
Let's go to 250. How about 250?
250 follows. If we can get this channel to 250 follows, by when?
Let's give it until, how about we'll give it 2 months? How about that?
That's way too much time. Way too much time.
All right. Let's give it a month then. And end of this month.
By February 1st, 250 followers. If we get 250 followers, Andy will play Apex Legends with us on stream. And by then, hopefully, Andy will be set up to actually stream.
Because I would like for him
to stream from the Dual Screens account, and Taylor and I stream from our accounts and do a multi-stream across all to rule them all.
He just got a follow from Assy Bagger.
Guess who Assy Bagger is? I bet you could get it first try.
Is it Buzz?
Nobody has nominated a Hype Fam member of the week, and that we are going to stop nominating them ourselves. This is for something for you guys to do. So please, if you are listening, if you're watching, and you want to highlight somebody doing something awesome on the internet, write to us, feedback@ndspodcast.com. Leave it in the comments below of the YouTube video. Let us know what your friends are doing that is awesome. And if we like it, we will highlight it on next week's show. We're going to do this every week, so please consider doing that. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at @dual_screens on Twitter and at @NDSPodcast on Instagram. I am at @batchall27. Andy is at @pantsguy. Taylor is at @itspurger. You can follow Me on Twitch on twitch.tv/batchild. Taylor is twitch.tv/itsperger. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS podcasts. Whew, we did it. We got it. Bradley Parsons did our theme song, and Matt Murray did our overlay and logos. And if you want to buy some stuff like this cool mug, go to dualscreens.com/store. That's it. That's the show. Taylor, before we go, do you have anything to say to the kids?
I do, Steven. Do we want to talk about the thing that we talked about on the Patreon show?
Yes.
Okay. We have a new show launching this month, exclusive to YouTube, and I think Buzz Killington is going to love this. The show is called Game Pass or Play. It will be hosted by myself. I will be joined with, joined by Steve and Andy, possibly, maybe rotating. We're not 100% sure. This show is going to be us ranking and reviewing every single game on Xbox Game Pass using the random game feature. And I'm super, super excited about it. I've been working on this show behind the scenes for a couple months now. So it's finally ready to see the light of day, premiering on YouTube very, very soon this month.
Listen,
so.
Listen, Buzz, once you get your Patreon bucks back up there, you can gladly be on the show.
That is not a promise we are willing to keep, by the way.
No, but you know, you want to play, you got to pay. That's how it works.
We're going to be making some subtle changes to the Patreon. We have a $1, $3, $5, $10, and $50 goal or tier right now. We're probably going to keep those denominations, but we're trying to figure out other things that we can do that'll be more diverse in content. Right now, we've been doing a lot of bonus audio content. Some of that has been hard for us to do. I feel like videos would be even harder. But we're definitely trying to figure out something more that we can do. We will also be returning for this coming year. Casting Call will be returning at some point. Dual Screens Versus will not be returning. That was just a huge pain in the ass to produce with guest hosts and all that stuff. Just a big, big pain in the butt. So we won't be doing that one, and we're going to be producing a couple of new shows as well for YouTube, and hopefully once Andy gets his streaming game going in his office and all that stuff, I'm going to get him the dual screens computer as well. As soon as we get him up and going, we will be streaming more from this channel. At least each of us will be doing at least one day a week. If it's not together, it will be individual, but either way, we're going to be trying to play some more games, so... if you're watching this on YouTube, head over to twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Give us that follow and stay tuned for that. So more content will be forthcoming.
Can I explain things again? That was a good
show. Yeah. Now I'm going to kick it to you, buddy. Andy, yeah. Is there anything you would like to say before we go?
You know, I've been booking guests for the show, for the podcast. Like, I got a bunch of emails yesterday because everyone's on vacation for the
speaking
holiday.
To the face of the microphone, not the top. And I, not hello, not that part, hi. Not the top, the face. Hi, hello, the logo. Face. Put it like this.
My logo. Hi. It's better.
Put it like right here. Like right in your face, like that.
Right here. Rest it right underneath your schnoz.
Yeah, just... if you could put it right in there. If you could lick it, actually, that'd be really appropriate.
Okay. So I've been emailing people for the last like 2-3 weeks with no responses because everyone's on vacation. And then today I got bombarded with emails from people. Suffice to say that we are jam-packed. Things are getting scheduled. Things are being, you know, discussed. And I will tease one thing for February. That's going to be like a love sexy game month. Oh, yes. Oh yes. Now, not listen.
We weren't listening to sexy games before.
Not all games will be of the adult only variety. Our first guest I can announce now will be for Boyfriend Dungeon.
Great game
and
very exciting.
The dev is a sweetheart. She's amazing. I met her at PAX East. She's amazing, and I can't wait to discuss why she made this game. But that's like we're a good month out from that. But just look forward to that for Feb.
Can we try and get the voice actress that played now I'm blanking on the name because I didn't play 5. What's the one that had to breathe through her skin?
Oh, Quiet?
Yeah. Can we get quiet on the show? Because that fits the whole sexy thing.
Yeah, totally. Why not?
That'll work.
Sure.
Listen, it's not necessarily topical, but it'll work. That is going to do it for us. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for listening. This has been Dual Screens Cross Play Podcast. That's Andy over there. That's Taylor over there. I'm Steve. That is it. Thank you for listening. And as always, please be excellent to each other.